with the gospel of the kingdom. We are convinced you will hear and see God's love for you as you advance towards your fulfillment of your life's purpose in Christ. But
I believe.
But help my what?
Unbelief.
Now watch, that word unbelief in the Greek, I'm not going to give you the long meaning, but look it up. It literally means incredible thing. Incredible thing. You're going to see this in a second. So he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. So what he's telling Jesus is, I believe you can do this. Now you remember previously his disciples tried it and they couldn't do it. Got it? He's telling him, I believe you can do it, but this is an incredible thing.
Yeah.
Come on, you got to see this. He's seeing, he's starting to talk in truth, and then he moves into fact, and then he rolls right into reality.
Yeah.
Come on, you got to see this. He's talking truth. He said, Lord, I know you can do it. That's what he's telling him. He said, I know you can do it. He said, but Lord, help my unbelief, because this is what kind of thing? It's an incredible thing. In other words, he's been doing it for years. Since birth, I've seen it. I took him to your disciples. They couldn't help him. And I'm still seeing it. I know you can do it, but I'm telling you, the facts are outweighing what you told me.
Amen.
Yeah.
Come on, you got to see this. The facts, what I'm seeing, what's my reality? What I'm seeing has become my reality, and it's outweighing your truth. I need you to help me.
Yes.
I need you to take me back to the beginning. That's what he's telling me. Take me back to the beginning so I can see the truth.
Yes.
That's what he asked him. He said, I need your help because this is an incredible thing. My son is being thrown around all the time. It's incredible what the Spirit is doing to him. It's incredible. You know, he's a father. He's crying out. And now I'm trying to believe, but I have more faith in the incredible thing than I do in what you're saying. That's what facts come to do. They come to take your faith and bring it from truth to fact, to make it your reality so that the truth no longer has life to you or essence. And you can't go back to the original because you're so consumed by this incredible thing. John chapter 11. Help us, Holy Ghost. John chapter 11. I'm going to start in verse 23. I'm not going to read it all. You know it's the story of Lazarus. John 11:23 says, Jesus is talking to her. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And then Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection and the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Now go down to verse 33. Watch this. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews came with her weeping. This is important. Anytime you deal with facts, you better believe there's a crowd coming. Now you got to understand something. Lazarus is dead. Do we agree?
Yes.
Jesus said he is dead. If Jesus called you dead,
you're
dead.
You're dead.
Nobody else, don't matter, you don't need no physician or nothing. If Jesus said you're dead, you're dead. But even in that, therefore when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? So Jesus himself is dealing with facts.
Yeah.
Come on, you got to see this.
Yeah.
They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. And then the Jews said, see how he loved him. See that? So he's talking about his heart. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? So they're talking truth. You see that?
Yes.
Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it, which means he was literally dead. That's how they announced you dead, because he was dead 4 days. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, that's Lazarus, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Why was it 4 days? Because he wanted to prove to everybody he was dead and let him go, because death to the Jews are 3 days, to the Sadducees is 4 days. Got it? So he made sure everybody knew he was what?
Dead.
Okay. Verse 40. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." That is key right there, people.
Yes.
He did not address the facts.
Yes.
He addressed who?
His father.
Anytime you face facts, you don't address the fact until you first address Father.
Amen.
And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." See that?
Yes.
This is powerful. And he who had died came bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." You see that?
Yes.
This is so important. Anytime you are dealing with facts, there will always be weepers and moaners that you call and people that will participate in building your kingdom.
Yes.
Come on, you got to see this. They will always be there. You tell them, "I'm in this kind of trouble. I need this kind of help." They'll be there. "I'll pray with you. I'll ask the Lord. I'll, you know, and do this, do that with you." But they'll be right there praying with you, crying, doing all this stuff with you. Listen, those are just facts that are becoming your reality. What you need to do is call upon the King. Here's a fact. The people before he got there said, if he had come, this man, he could have been able to stop him from dying because he gave sight to the blind. Do you see that? They're telling everybody what he did. He opened the eyes of the blind. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He did all this. Surely he could have kept this man from dying if he would have came. So they deemed dying as a fact and a reality. And they deemed it as the final move. Jesus, he got rid of all their language when he said one thing. Even Martha was with them. When she said, "If you had come, he would have lived. And if you would have got here on time," I'm paraphrasing, "he would have lived." And Jesus said, "He'll live again." She said, "I know he'll live in the resurrection."
Yes.
Now watch. Jesus lying to her was what? Come on, look in your Bible. What does he say? Say it like you mean it. What did he say? So he's not talking of himself. He's talking from the beginning.
Yes.
Come on. He's saying, who's the resurrection?
I am.
And Alpha. Alpha, I am. He's saying, I am is the resurrection.
Yes.
So he's letting them know. It's the truth.
Yes.
Everybody's going to be resurrected.
Yes.
That's what he's telling her.
Yes.
He's saying, the truth is, everybody's going to be resurrected.
Yes.
The truth is, everybody's going to be resurrected.
Yes.
Come on, you got to see this. He's saying, the truth is, everybody's going to be resurrected.
Yes.
That's what he's telling. That's the truth. He said, but today, he said, it's going to be Lazarus.
Yeah.
He said, but understand, there's a day coming when everybody's going. That's what he's telling her. Everybody's going to be resurrected. You're letting the facts blind you from the truth, and it's creating your reality. You're thinking that he's going to stay in his grave. No, no, no. The truth is, everybody's going to be resurrected. That's what facts come to do. They come to take your faith, attach it to it, and think that that's all there is. Your faith was never given birth to in time. Your faith was given birth to in eternity. So your faith has the ability to take time and contort it or bend it.
Yes.
Oh. It can destroy time and bring time into eternity, in which eternity will cause time to implode on itself.
Yes.
That's what Jesus did. He brought him up from time into eternity, and time imploded and death left him.
Amen. Amen.
Ah, you'll get it in part two. Last scripture, we're going to close here. I know this was a foundation you love. I pray you're getting something out of this thing. If I was you, I'd get CDs for myself, and I'd just get CDs for other people too. Why? Because this is how we're living every day. You think we're not? That's what that devil is doing. He's convincing you to use your faith for his kingdom, and you don't know it. And that's why it seems like it's taking God so long. It's not taking God long. The Bible says he's not slack in his promises.
Amen.
Come on, that's what it says. He's not slack. We're just misusing our faith.
Yes.
We're letting reality become bigger to us than truth.
Yes.
Last scripture, we're going to close here. I'm going to read this out in the New Living Translation. Hebrews 11, verse 13 through 16. Hebrews 11, verse 13 through 16. Now watch this. It's talking about the halls of faith and the people that came before us. It said, now all these peoples died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. How did they see it? Say, by faith.
By faith.
Now you got to understand, we're talking about people of old. We're talking about the patriarchs. Got it?
Yes.
They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. You better understand something. You are a foreigner.
Amen.
If Jesus is Lord of your life, you are a foreigner and a nomad on this planet.
Amen.
Obviously, verse 14, obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back.
Yeah.
See that? So he's letting you know, they're not talking about the places they left to follow the Lord. They're not speaking of that. Verse 16, but they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them.
Amen.
Come on, New Jerusalem. In the language, New Jerusalem. Jerusalem, city of peace. Come on, Jerusalem. So he's telling you, the people that came before us, they attached their faith beyond the grave. And since they attached it and they had the revelation of what was coming with the Messiah and the promises, they saw past the grave to themselves in heaven with God.
Yes.
Come on, you got to see this. Yes. He said, because they've reasoned in their self, this is not my home.
Right.
You've got a reason today, this is not your home.
Amen.
And you got to attach your faith to your real home.
Amen.
Because that's why the writer says that we overcome him.
Right.
Come on, Amen. By the word of our testimony and the blood of the
Amen.
Well, what is our testimony? That we're home.
Yes.
That we're home.
Yes.
It may look like we're sojourning on the earth, but we're really home.
Amen.
Our faith is in heaven because that's where it was given to us.
Amen.
So we keep it attached to heaven.
Amen.
That way we overcome every testimony.
Amen.
We overcome every trial.
Amen.
We overcome every fact, every reality. We overcome it by what? Our faith.
Yes.
And what is faith? Truth. We have the same opportunity. Truth is what's going to keep us. Truth is what's going to establish us. Truth is what's going to carry us. Truth is what's going to allow us to mount up on wings like eagles. Truth is what's going to allow us to cast out devils. Truth is what's going to allow us to walk into New Jerusalem. Truth is what's going to allow us to go into the unseen and see it like we see the seen. Truth is what brings heaven to the earth. Truth, truth, truth from the beginning, which Alpha said.
Amen.
It's established.
Yes.
That's where our faith is supposed to be. Not in facts or reality. So here's the question. Truth or facts? What kingdom has your faith? Thank you for joining us today at Kingdom Ministries International. You can visit us online at kingdomfamilies.online or call us at 754-229-5641. We would love to hear from you. Remember, the kingdom of God is within you.